It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of 2 Peter, we are teaching a series on the book of 2 Peter, chapter by chapter and verse by verse. The second epistle of Peter, written by the Apostle Peter, one of the original 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. This particular epistle of 2 Peter was written approximately 60 AD to 65 AD from Babylon. The theme of 2 Peter consists of teachings against apostasy, which is defined as departing from the faith in the last days. Individuals that knew the Lord Jesus Christ through salvation, who chose to backslide continually, shipwrecked their faith, departed from the Lord, and went back into the world. Scripture teaches in 1 Timothy chapter 4 that in the last days, many shall depart from the faith. Individuals cannot depart from the faith unless they were already in the faith. 2 Peter also teaches on Christian virtues, warnings against false teachers, and the day of the Lord. This is the teaching on the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds, or genuine and sincere minds, by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Here in verse 1, Peter confirms his authorship of not only this second epistle, but also the first epistle of Peter. Verse 1 also speaks of his remembrance. This word remembrance, remember, remembering, this family of words is found hundreds of times throughout the Old and New Testament and used by the prophets to warn, to caution, to give word of encouragement, to remember the teaching. Verse 2 specifically speaks of the scriptures, the words of the holy prophets. And Peter is saying, remember what you were taught, in contrast to these false prophets that are going about with false doctrine that I've been teaching you to ward against. Remember your foundational teaching, the scriptures, the commandments of the apostles and of the Lord and Savior. Paul gives a reference to this kind of remembering in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Once again, Peter is reminding the readers to remember the teaching and reference the scriptures. And at the same time, he's classing this particular epistle he's writing in parallel importance with the other writings of scripture. Verses 3 through 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Here in verses 3 and 4, Peter, through the scriptures, by the power of the Holy Spirit, predicting that scoffers are going to come in the last days, claiming that there's been talk of the Lord's return, and it hasn't happened. There's been talk of the rapture of the church, and it hasn't happened. Everything's staying the same. Nothing's changing. Therefore, your word is wrong. Your scriptures are wrong. Your predictions are wrong. And the Lord is not coming, and nothing is changing. This kind of mocking and scoffing was also warned by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Matthew 24, verses 3 through 11. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many." Here Jesus is confirming that there's going to be mockers, scoffers, impersonators, those saying that nothing's changing. And Jesus says all these signs that are here are showing you the birth pains, the labor pains of what's about to happen in terms of the birth that's coming, being predicted by the scriptures. We as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are not to be dissuaded or persuaded by the mockers of the last days, but to trust in the scriptures, to trust in God's word. His promises will be fulfilled, and we are to wait on the Lord. Verses 5 through 7. "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Here we see in verses 5 through 7 that these same mockers who are scoffing at the predictions of the end of the world and the return of the Lord and the rapture of the church should also understand that the same scriptures predicted the destruction of the world. And if those same scriptures were correct, predicting and explaining and speaking of the creation of the world, then these same scriptures speaking of the return of the Lord, the rapture of the church, the judgment to come, and the end of the world will also be fulfilled and come to pass. Verses 5 through 7 speak of creation. It also speaks of the great flood that happened during the time of Noah. Verse 7 speaks of a contrast to where there was water involved in the recreation of the world through the flood of Noah. Now there's going to be fire in the last days in the recreation under judgment. Scripture states in Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, "Behold, the day will come when the earth shall be burned as an oven." Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39, Jesus Christ once again states, "But as the days of Noe were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Here Jesus is stating that the world was going on in the day of Noah as if there was no expectation of a flood. And the suddenness and the quickness of the flood came, bringing destruction to the wicked. So shall it be upon the Lord's return in the last days. Individuals today are going through their daily routine, marrying, eating, drinking, giving in marriage, with no expectation of the Lord's return. And suddenly it shall come. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Once again, scoffers and mockers will try to pervert and discount the Holy Scriptures. But as it was in the beginning, the Scriptures are true, speaking of creation. The Scriptures are true, speaking of the Lord's return. Verses 8 through 9. "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Here in verses 8 through 9, we see a reason for the delay of the Lord's return. Verse 8 speaks of God's aspect of time. Man sees time from moment to moment, day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. God sees time on a different scale. For he operates outside of time, and his time is not necessarily our time. Scripture speaks in Psalm 90, verse 4, "For as 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night." God is never late. God is always on time. And though it seems like there is a long time being taken upon the Lord's return, God's timing is perfect. And verse 9 explains why God's timing is perfect. God is giving individuals space to repent. God is giving individuals, because he loves them so much, time to repent. Scripture states in the book of Ezekiel that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from their way and live. God is long-suffering, giving individuals optimum opportunity to repent and to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Verses 10 through 13. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Here in verse number 10, we see the swiftness of the Lord's return. as God spoke earlier in verses 8 and 9 on the Lord being long-suffering and seemingly to us a delay in his time because of his long-suffering towards individuals to come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, yet there will be a swiftness of his return, unexpected swiftness as a thief in the night. Individuals of this world not giving God the time of day nor considering his return. Verse 10 also speaks of a renovation by fire with new heavens and a new earth as spoken of in Isaiah 65:17 and Isaiah 66:22, echoed also by Revelation chapter 21 and Revelation chapter 22. God is going to renovate this earth with fire. Verse 11 challenges our motive of living, looking for the Lord, that knowing that the earth is going to be judged, renovated by fire, it should motivate individuals to live holy and to live right. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 states, "And everyone that has this hope of the Lord purifieth himself, even as Christ is pure." Individuals should be motivated by faith and love, looking for the Lord's return that equates to a person living holy and righteous unto the Lord. Romans chapter 13, verse 12 states, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Verse 12 once again speaks of us longing and looking for the Lord's return because we love him so much and desire to be with him forever. Titus chapter 2, verses 12 through 13 echo this same teaching and states, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 speaks of the promise of a new heavens and a new earth. This promise was anticipated even by the prophets of old. Hebrews states that they looked for a city where hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. We are looking for our home up in glory, the new heavens, a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness, away from the corruption of this world, living in peace and joy and holiness with the Lord. Verse number 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." Here, Peter is having an admonition to the believers in view of the Lord's return to live righteous. Verse 14, "without spot," speaks to having the character of Christ from within. And blameless in verse 14 speaks to having a righteous reputation from those without. Character from the inside, reputation on the outside. Verses 15 through 16, "An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction." Here in verses 15 through 16, Peter is stating that Paul's writing are considered the scriptures. Here in verses 15 and 16, it is not stating that Paul's writings are difficult to understand. It's stating that those that are rebellious, those that wrestle against the word of God and the will of God, will have difficulty receiving the scriptures based on their unbelief. Jesus Christ taught this similar principle in Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 16. And the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." Here, Jesus Christ is teaching that individuals that come with faith will understand the parables. If they are living a life of ungodliness, as Isaiah quoted, then their eyes will not see and their ears will not hear. Same teaching here in 2 Peter, individuals having difficulty with the scriptures that Peter is speaking of is because they wrestle against the will of God, and because they do not come by faith, their eyes are not opened. Scripture teaches in the book of Hebrews, "Without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Verses 17 through 18. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Here in verse 17, Peter is giving a warning against backsliding by taking heed to the false prophets and their false doctrine, and as a result, shipwrecking their faith. Peter is encouraging them to finish what they started on this Jesus journey. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17 states, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God." 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 states, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Once again, individuals can start out with the Lord, but if they begin to take heed and follow the false doctrine and false teaching of the false preachers and prophets, they will be led astray and shipwreck their faith. Verse 18 speaks of growing in the grace of the Lord and the knowledge of the Lord. This comes with individuals having a relationship with the Lord, spending time with the Lord in prayer and fellowship and in the Word of God. Scripture teaches in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." scripture teaches in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. Peter is encouraging the believers here to grow, to mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Individuals should be further along in their Jesus walk than when they first started. The same temptations and triggers that were tripping individuals up when they were babes in Christ should no longer be triggering and tripping them up today. Individuals who are still wrestling years later with the same triggers and temptations are not growing in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Scripture teaches in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the teaching on the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from His loving kindness, I invite you to bow your head and pray with me today. This prayer of salvation, this prayer of reconciliation. Won't you pray with me today? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised Him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.